Welcome back to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show. Moments away, Carly McQuarrie will be with us. But first, Yellow Jackets Rescue has the solution to that issue in your backyard or on your property.
Yeah, as the end of summer occurs, you'll notice more aggressive yellow jackets flying around. Yellow jackets are looking for your barbecue meats, your sweet drinks, as well as water resources. You can keep them at bay with Rescue Yellow Jacket Traps. Rescue Yellow Jacket Traps are eco-friendly, do-it-yourself option to keep those stinging pests away from you. These traps use a powerful lure for yellow jackets, but they will not attract the beneficial honeybees. All rescue products are made in the USA. You can go to rescue.com where you can buy these yellow jacket traps and other pest control solutions. That's rescue.com.
Holly, let's go to the hotline and bring in our guest for this week.
Carly McQuarrie is passionate about growing her own food, using it wisely, and urban homesteading. She is an author, an urban homesteader, and the creator of The Little Green Shoot. Welcome to the program, Carly.
Thank you so much, Holly. It's great to be here.
Well, we thank you for taking time out of your day, not only to educate Holly and myself, but all of our listeners across the country. And we'll just jump in it right now. What you're all about small space gardening, and what are your best small space gardening tips, if you could provide a few of them for Holly and me and our listeners?
Yeah, so many. So one good one is raised beds. Those are great because you can put them anywhere. Growing vertically is good. So growing on trellises to save space that way. I like to grow smaller varieties of things. So when you're in the country, you can grow those enormous pumpkins and things like that. Where we're on a city lot, you might want to do like lettuce, carrots, things like that are small. Also seeing your space with fresh eyes. So putting gardens in places that you might not normally put them. So like I have an herb garden in my driveway and some raised beds in my front yard. The parking strip to my house is like a little mini orchard. So those are some good things. But my favorite is to just grow what you like. I think a lot of times it's easy to just kind of get wooed by something at the store and bring it home. But if you're just using the space for what you truly love and will want to use, that's going to save you some space in the long run too.
When you talk about the different varieties, there's so many garden seed manufacturers now have hybridized or have found varieties that naturally grow in a smaller, compact type of situation. There's patio corn. There's cucumbers that grow in a bush instead of a vine. There's compact tomatoes. So there's a lot of choices out there that people may not be aware that exist.
Totally. Such a great point. Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so you're very passionate about urban homesteading. Some people might not understand what that means if they have to get goats and put them in their small backyard or something. What is urban homesteading?
Yeah, so I definitely don't have any goats or cows in my urban backyard. We don't even actually have chickens. But we do grow a lot of our own food. We're, we actually live behind a bar on a busy street on a city lot, but we're able to grow a ton of our own food. So by urban homesteading, it's basically just growing and preserving as much as your own food as you can, even though you're in a city or a small space. But I think sometimes people want to, like, think they can't do it or give up because they don't have enough space. But I mean, you can definitely supplement your urban homestead from farmers markets or local farmers, even different suppliers. So it's basically like providing you and your family with healthier alternatives, a lot of times even ones that you grow yourself, and then using that and keeping it throughout the year is how I would define it. But there are probably lots of different definitions out there.
Right. Everybody's urban homestead is defined to their requirements and their needs. Whenever you moved to the location you're at now, was the urban homestead, was that a goal, or did that kind of morph into and kind of become what it is today just by time and circumstance?
That is such a great question. It's definitely something that just evolved. I always wanted a garden. I started working in greenhouses when I was a teenager. I've just always had a passion for plants. And like everywhere I turn would kind of be a door closing in my face. You know, I grew up in the forest and there wasn't enough sun. And then I moved to California and my backyard was sand. You know, I lived in apartments. And so finally, when we moved here, even though it was still a city lot, I had enough sun to finally grow a garden. And so, you know, as you start your garden, I'm sure you guys know, like, there's all these different stages that you go through. And for me, I was finally finding success as a gardener. And then I'm like, what do I do with all this stuff? You know, there's only so much you can cook or give away. And that's when I started really getting into preserving what I grow and making it last throughout the year. So just kind of, it just kind of evolved naturally and kind of took me over, I would say.
Now, not everybody is big on canning what they grow. Are you a canner, or are you more dehydrator or refrigerator storage, or how do you get the most out of what you grew?
Yeah, definitely. I do all of that. So we got a dehydrator a couple years ago that's totally changed my life. I love it. We use that for lots of different things. I've got raisins in there right now from when I harvested some grapes. My goal this year was to grow enough tomatoes to can for the whole year. So I've been canning a ton of tomatoes. We've got blueberries in the freezer. Right now we have a porch filled with apples we're going to take over to our friends next weekend and make some cider out of. So kind of all different things.
That's a lot of fun. So you do have a free guide on your website. It's the Beginner's Guide to Urban Homesteading. And what's your website so people can find it? And why should our listeners go there and check that out and all your other great information?
Yes. Yeah, so my website is called thelittlegreenshoot.com. And it's a good resource. There's tons of free articles on there. It's great for people who are getting started with urban homesteading, or even if you live in the country, just a beginning gardener. It's got lots of tips and tricks. And then it's also got things, articles about how to preserve what you grow. The guide is great because, well, obviously, who doesn't love free things? But it's just kind of an introduction to what urban homesteading is, how you can get started, different resources. I've got some recipes in there for making your own garlic powder and also your own French fries if you're growing potatoes, or if you want to cheat and grow, get some from the store. French fries are delicious either way. And also how to grow and store potatoes is in there. So it's just a nice little free guide to get started.
And I think people need something like that, because how to grow a tomato, you put that in your favorite search engine, there's 973,000 different ways. And if there's something tangible or something that has a very simple guideline, here's what worked for me, here's how you can do it, here's how simple you can do it, and here's the reward that you can reap from it, it really puts people at ease and takes a lot of the confusion or hesitation out of starting a garden, whether it's one container or a backyard.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because I think that we're all just really hard on ourselves, and we think that, you know, things are complicated or hard and we can't do them. And I have kind of a passion for making things simple and letting them be easy. And I think the more we can just support each other and, you know, garden, you guys know gardens also filled with failures, and that's totally fine. It's part of the process, you know, but just having the courage to get started, and it's not a big deal. Everyone can start easy, you know?
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, you obviously have learned a lot in your time of urban homesteading. What's something you've learned that in regards to urban homesteading that will always stick with you and you're really happy you learned it?
Honestly, it's kind of where my garden is. I'm kind of an introvert, and I always wanted my garden to be in the backyard. And with my small space, I've been forced to have my garden out in the front yard. And just by being out there all the time, I've met so many people in my community, my neighbors. You know, last night we were out there picking apples and sharing with everybody, and little kids are like, these are real apples that you can grow, these are real apples we can eat just growing on this tree, you know? And so that's honestly been one of my favorite parts, is my connection to my community through my garden. But also, you know, it's just so, it feels so good to look around and, you know, have your shelves be filled with things that you actually grew yourself or throughout the seasons, just seeing, you know, each thing has its own kind of time and place, and they're all so beautiful. And so just watching the seasons go by is really exciting for me still.
And you speak about being in the front yard and connecting with the community. You know, many people know this, but they don't comprehend it. There's a lot of good people in the world. There's a few bad people that make everybody else look bad. You know, a little drop of oil in a puddle of water makes look bad. But you connect with so many people, regardless of who they are. And like you talked about the kid there, knowing, you know, he never knew, or he or she never knew apples basically grow on a tree. Aisle 9 of the grocery store. That's where we get food. It's introducing people to what can be done in their own community.
Exactly. And it's been fun, too, because a lot of my neighbors are growing gardens now, too, or people will drive by and stop and they're like, I just ordered some garden beds like yours, you know, or whatever. And so it's just been like a really fun way to get to know my neighbors. And I think you're right. There are so many good people in the world. And it's nice to get to see more of them.
Yeah. And I get it with the being an introvert thing, because I am too. And people are always like, well, you have a radio show. And it's like, well, this is how I connect with people. I'm not the type to go up to a stranger and be like, hey, what's your hobby? This is their hobby matches mine. And it comes to me.
Yeah, totally.
So you like to grow your own tea, and maybe other people want to as well. I know we have. Maybe people are currently growing something that they could make tea out of, or what are some plants that they might be growing that they can use for tea, or what are some that they can grow for tea?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that. I think a lot of times too, people are like, wait, I could make tea out of that, you know, because it's just basically you cut the herb and dry it and now you have tea. And so one that people might already be growing is raspberry. So if you have raspberries growing in your yard, of course the fruit is amazing, but the leaves are amazing medicinal plants. And so what I do before it blooms is I harvest a bunch of raspberry leaves and dry it. And then I drink a cup of that every night of the year practically, because it's good for any reproduction and hormone issues, but also inflammation and detoxification and building up your iron. So that's one that I really love, but also even like thyme tea or lemon balm, kind of any herb you can think of. If you Google it, you'll see it's got a million medicinal benefits and you can make a tea out of it.
Was there any teas that you grew thinking that this is going to be the best thing and you turned out and you made it and it was like, not the best thing for me?
That's a really good question. I've enjoyed everything I've grown as a tea, except my mint gets spider mites really bad. So I have to harvest that like super early. But so that's probably my biggest tea fail is spider mites in my mint bed. But pretty much everything I've tried to grow as a tea, I've really enjoyed. But I kind of like those earthy tastes that maybe some people wouldn't too.
Right. Which tells me that you don't use chemicals, you're organic, otherwise you could spray something on that in order to kill the spider mites, but you choose to go the organic way.
Yep, I do. And sometimes I'll spray them with an organic spray every once in a while, but I just, you know how there's some parts of your garden sometimes it seems like no matter what you do or try.
Right.
That's just that problem is there, and that's kind of my mint bed. Which is good, because mint can take over when it gets too healthy.
So. Absolutely, and that's, you know, you always want to be careful of that. Put it somewhere where, you know, if you put it in the ground, put it somewhere where you don't care if it takes over that portion of the yard, because it will.
Exactly. So true.
So how can people find out more about you, see what you're doing, get your free guide, purchase your books? Where can we all go for that?
Yeah, so my website, thelittlegreenshoot.com, has the free guide, and then also I have a sale going right now for a guide to growing and storing onions, and then also a toolkit to help you if you're trying to get started gardening and want some help learning how to create your space. Those are both on sale, but there's tons of resources on my website that are completely free to help you get started too. And I'm also on Facebook and Pinterest, but I would say I spend most of my time on Instagram. And my name is The Little Green Shoot, and there's a period between every word. So the period, little, you know. Mm-hmm. But that's where I hang out the most, and you can find me there a lot. And then the website has lots of good resources.
Well, it's a great website for anybody that's new at gardening or want to kind of restart or review what you've been doing if not been successful. It's a great, great resource there. And Carly, we greatly appreciate the time you've offered us and our listeners and sharing some of your knowledge with all of us.
Thank you so much. It was so fun to be here with you guys. I love your show.
Absolutely. Well, we thank you very much.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.